Proverbs chapter 6, verse 20 through 35. My son, keep thy father's commandment, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart, and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. To keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman, lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. For by means of a whorish woman a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? He that goeth in to his neighbor's wife, so is he that goeth into his neighbor's wife. Whosoever toucheth her shall not be innocent. Men do not despise a thief if he steal to satisfy his soul when he is hungry. But if he be found, he shall restore sevenfold. He shall give all the substance of his house. But whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. A wound in dishonor shall he get, and his reproach shall not be wiped away. For jealousy is the rage of a man, therefore he will not spare in the day of vengeance. He will not regard any ransom, neither will he rest content, though thou givest many gifts. In these first few verses here, verses 20 through 23, I want us to see here, we're reminded again, and this passage or this thought is shared in other chapters here in the book of Proverbs. But again, the request or the desire for attention and obedience to the commandments of God's Word and the direction and the commandments of mom and dad. We find here in verse 20, it says, "My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother." And you say, well, is that the Word of God? Is it talking about the Word of God, or is it talking about the commands and teachings and instruction of a mother? Yes, it should be. They should be the same. They should go together. They should complement each other. They should be in sync and harmony. The desire of a parent should for their children should be the same desire that the Lord has for their children. To be safe, to be cared for, to do that which is right, to walk in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And I know to a degree there's no such thing, and we have to remember, there's no such thing as the ideal family. All families are dysfunctional to a point, some more than others. And there's no such thing as a perfect family. You cannot find one in the Scripture. There's problems and difficulties. There's shortcomings. There's room for improvement for every family. But God gives us His Word and tells us the standard by which we're to follow. And it says that we're to follow the direction of our parent. Here we're talking about a child, a son in particular, that is being directed, given this understanding. But we can look at this as a child of God as well and make application as a child of God, because we do have the ideal parent and father with the Lord. He is the perfect example of what an earthly father should be, and in every way. And so let's keep that in mind. He says, "My son, keep my father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother." And if we can apply that, speaking to, we of course assume and believe that he's talking about the parents speaking the Word of God to the children and sharing, saying, here's what the Bible says about how we should live. Here's what it says. Now, much could be said about that, and we'll make some more comment. In verse 20, it says, "My son, keep thy father's commandment, forsake not the law of thy mother." Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6, you know this verse. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Obey your parents in the Lord. Parents have been given a responsibility to instruct, to lead, to help their children. That's the parents' responsibility. The children's responsibility is to obey. Children do not see the consequences of their actions or of their behavior. I mean, I could tell you all kinds of things that I got into as a child. I played with dangerous things. I played with fire. I played with shotgun shells. I played with ammunition. How many of you remember the Lone Ranger? Remember Lone Ranger? Yeah. Let me tell you what I did one time. Remember Lone Ranger? He got put in jail unjustly, of course. They took his gun, but they didn't take his gun belt. Still had silver bullets, you know. And he was going to get out, so he took one of those silver bullets out and put it in the jail cell lock and hit it with his spur, and it went bang, and the door opened. I had a swing set in the backyard. You know what swing sets are, you know, the old swing sets made out of steel, I guess, tubing, and had the teeter-totter on it and had those plastic knobs that goes on the end. Well, something happened to the plastic knobs. I don't know what happened to them, but they always wound up missing because they came off pretty easy. But I got to looking at that, I said, you know what? I think that one of Dad's 12-gauge shotgun shells would fit right in there. And guess what? It was a perfect fit. I went and got that thing, put it right in there, looked at that. And then I started looking for something to hit it with. The Lord saved me. The Lord protected me. I don't know what happened. Mom called me for supper. I don't remember. For some reason, I didn't hit it with anything. And I forgot about it. Actually, I forgot about it. It rained a couple of times. About a week and a half later, Dad was mowing around the swing set, moving things around. You know how he didn't have weed eaters back then. Just did the best you could with a push mower. And then you get these things out, those hand trimmers. Well, he saw it. How he saw it there, I don't know, but he saw it. And he hollered for me, "Lonnie!" He said, "What have you done here?" And I told him. He said, "Son, that could have killed you. If you had hit it and exploded, it blinded you. There's no telling what all it could have done." And he said, "Now I've got to try to get it out of there, and it's rusted in because it's rained. That steel's rusted around that thing." And he got his pocket knife out and started. He said, "If this thing blows up and kills me, it's your fault." I felt so bad. I probably wasn't 5 or 6 years old, you know. But I didn't see the consequences of playing with dangerous things. And the Lord protected me. And I just stay tuned. If y'all show up a few more times, I'll tell you some more things I did. We can't have children present, though, when I'm talking about this, because I don't want to give any kids any ideas. The Lord watched over me, and I'm thankful for it. But I did not think about the danger, the consequences. That's why we have parents. That's why we just don't take off on our own as soon as we're born. We couldn't make it. And some kids can't make it now until they're 30 years old. They still need help. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. That's what God says, and that is the truth. And so, we got that settled. Verse 21, bind them continually upon thine heart, and tie them about thy neck. Now, he's not talking about literally taking the Scripture or what they're saying and tying it to our neck or our head or our heart. He's talking figuratively that they should never... It should never leave our mind or our understanding. It should always be there. It should be in our heart. We should always be reminded of what the Word of God says, what our Heavenly Father says, what our earthly parents said. I'm still remembering things that my mom and dad taught me that I think I had forgotten until the situation revealed it. The situation that I was in, I remember what they said. And I'm so thankful for it. And this keeping it before us. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 3, it says, "Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, and write them upon the table of thine heart." Keep them before us. Now, I know there's the Jews had the phylacteries, those things, those little leather boxes that they put on their foreheads, and they had one on their left arm that they kept near their heart, had portions of Scripture in there. And that is a reminder. And there's things that we can do for little reminders. Did you ever tie a string around your finger to remind you of something? That's old-fashioned, isn't it?
Yeah.
Now we've got phones that go ding when it's time to do something, so we don't forget. But yeah, I remember my mom tying a string around her finger. I said, what's that for? Is that so I don't forget to do such and such? Okay. It's good to have reminders, but we should also keep in mind and keep in our heart that this is, it should be ever before us, the truth of God. And we should always be reminded that we're His children. And my dad, he said, never forget where you came from. Don't dishonor the family name. And so that's what he's talking about here. Bind them continually upon thine heart and tie them about thy neck. And verse 22 describes how that's going to help. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. When thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. Wow. Verses of Scripture come to mind. When you're in despair, you think, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. He shall direct thy paths. Verses of Scripture, maybe portions of a verse of Scripture. Things that the pastor has said, Sunday school, things you've learned and read in devotion, years past, helps us in these times of need. Helps us to walk in paths of righteousness for His namesake, doesn't it? As it says here in this verse, it says, when thou goest, it shall lead thee. Steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, right? His word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Listen to Proverbs chapter 3, verses 22 or 23 and 24. It says, then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. It says in verse 22, when thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. I like to be able to lay down my head on my pillow at night knowing that everything's all right. Not only between me and the Lord, but between me and other folks. Have you ever tried to sleep when there's something between you and somebody else? You know, the Scripture says, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. So we shouldn't go to bed angry if we can help it or upset with anybody. Now, somebody might have a problem with me, but I'm not to have a problem with it with them. Get it settled. You had to get settled by praying for them, because you can't be mad for folks you're praying for. Try it sometimes. If you get angry at someone, try praying for them. And guess what? Don't be angry anymore. Look at verse 23. And we're going to back up here just a little bit here in a moment. But look at verse 23. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light. Isn't that something? We have light today. If light was not here, what would we have?
Darkness.
Light overcomes darkness, not the other way around. If we remove the light, darkness is present. Lightness takes over if there is no light. A beautiful type of the truth of God's Word is the word light. And what it does, what light does for us. Light is the only thing that will pass through glass without breaking it. A lot of interesting characteristics that light has. It's a tremendous study. But the fact that light shows us where we're going, where we're to take our paths. His word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. When I was a kid, I think it was about 9 or 10 years old, I went camping with my cousin. My aunt was an employee at TVA, Tennessee Valley Authority. You may have heard about that. They're the ones who made all the dams and the nuclear power plants and all that down south and all that big, big, big operations. Well, she was an employee there. They had a huge, nice, beautiful campground out next to Chickamauga Lake, which is a big reservoir next to the dam there. And there was a trail that walked around the edge of the lake, the cliff, actually. It was a cliff that went down to the lake, and I had never been up there. I knew that it was there, and I knew that it was dangerous, but me and my cousin Wally, we wanted to go up there at night. Well, we took flashlights. You know, flashlights back in the day, the batteries would just go out or get weak. I mean, they wouldn't last long. They're not like the alkaline batteries we have today. That thing wouldn't last long. And we were going up through there, and I made him get in front because he'd been down the trail before. They'd camped there before. I hadn't. I made him lead the way. But his flashlight went out, so I just had mine. So here I am taking one step in front of the other, and you can hear the water coming up against the... But I mean, there's a drop-off there. And I was scared to death. I said, Wally, I'm going to kill you if we ever get back. If I don't fall in, I'm going to take care of you. We made it. But it was because we had that one little light. I don't think we'd have made it. I don't think I would have made it. Or we just had to sit down there and hang on to a tree until morning if we didn't have that little flashlight. But it helped us to walk and to stay on the path. And that's what light does. It helps us to see where we're going. It helps us, it protects us from stepping on something that we shouldn't step on, like a snake or something like that, or something that would hurt us. It points out danger. It reveals danger. It shows us direction. It protects us. It guides us, shows us the right way to go. And that's what he's saying here. That it says that his commandment is a lamp and the law is light. That's a good thing. You know, some folks think, and especially children, young people think, well, these rules and these laws and these commandments, oh, that's just going to cramp my style. It's just trying to burden me and make it hard on me so I can't do what I want to do. Well, if you want to do what's right, that's okay. But if you want to do what's wrong, then these rules come into play. And if you want to do that which is wrong, you have to remember there's consequences to wrong or evil behavior. There's consequences to all behavior. Some of it's good, some of it's bad. And so that has to be remembered. The commandment is a lamp and the law is light. That's good. And the reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Reproofs? You mean somebody telling me what to do? Not many folks like to be told what to do. Some folks have enough wisdom to realize that some folks know more about it than we do. The sooner I realize that somebody else might know more about this than I do, and I'm humble enough to either ask for their help, willing enough to ask, or wise enough to ask for their help. You know, have you ever had a boss? You ever been in a situation with an employer where the boss didn't ask you to do anything? They told you to do everything. You know, and you thought, well, if they asked me a little nicer, it'd be better. It's not their job to ask us nicely. It's their job to get it done. I know it can be done in a right way. I know it can be done in a kind, cordial way. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about rudeness. But I'm talking about some people have a rebellious spirit that they do not want to be told what to do. They don't want to be told that they're wrong. They don't want to be told that they're going in the wrong direction. What if you were standing outside the road and the bridge was out down the way and a car was coming up? Hey, the bridge is out. Hey, don't tell me what to do. Yeah, that can happen. Some people are so stubborn that they will not listen to reproof of instruction. It says it's the way of life. If we want to live, then we should have the right attitude. We should accept instruction. We should appreciate it. We should learn by it. Someone said to me one time that, and it's true, that folks don't want my opinion unless they ask for it. Have you ever heard that?
Yeah.
You know, down south where I'm from, everybody's got an opinion about everything. Some folks have more than one about everything. And they're more than willing to tell you their opinion whether you ask for it or not. I didn't ask you what you thought about this. Leave me alone, I'm washing my car. You missed a spot. I know. I'll get back to it. Leave me alone. It's the way of life, isn't it? And usually it's good. The instructions, I'm not talking about someone trying to hurt us. I'm trying to talk about folks helping us. Now, here we have a subject coming up again that we need help with. And you say, well, this doesn't apply to me. Well, it might apply to someone you love. And it might be something here that you can share with folks. I'm going to read down through here. There's a verse. Let me just read these two verses. There's two verses here in this passage that got my attention. It's verses 25 and 29. Now look at with me if you would. And you may have missed last time's lesson on chapter 5. I think those CDs are available. You might want to listen to it, and it would help you understand what I'm speaking about today. It says, "Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids." So there is a looking, there is a glance, or there is a stare, or there is a beholding. "Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids." Look down at verse 29. "So he that goeth in to his neighbor, look at verse 29 or 28. Can one go up on hot coals and his feet not be burned? So he that goeth in to his neighbor's wife, whosoever toucheth her shall not be innocent." Two things here that I want us to think about for just a moment. And I'll have you turn over to a passage in the New Testament. The looking and the touching. Over in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 28, I quoted it last time. The Lord Jesus said that if you look upon a woman to lust after her, you've committed adultery already with her in your heart. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 28. The power of the look, we understand. If you're a man especially, you understand. There is a multi-billion dollar industry just in the United States based on that, pornography. Just based on that. The danger, the power of a look. Heard one say one time, you can't help the first look, but you can help the second look. And so that needs to be, you need to be aware of that. Men, you need to be aware of that. The teenagers, the young people, the boys need to be aware of that. The danger. You cannot help the first look, but you can the second. So be careful about that. And then if you would flip over to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and let's look at this passage. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, I'm sure you're familiar with it as well, but let's look at it again. Because the Lord is the one who made us. Amen? And I know we're among a mixed company today. But the Lord made women attractive visually to men. He did that. There's no way that we can deny it. We cannot change that. That's why women need to be careful how they appear, how they dress, and how, as I said, what was it, a couple weeks ago when we were looking at chapter 5, if it ain't for sale, don't be advertising. That's what my grandmother said. Anyway, this thought of the look is powerful. But what about the touch? In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, it says, "Now concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman." Now again, this is talking about in a sexual way, in a physical way. And it's not talking about shaking hands when we have fellowship time. But if you have problems with your thoughts shaking hands with another woman, you don't need to be shaking hands with another woman. Okay? Also, you need to go see a doctor. Because something's wrong there. And it says, "Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband, and likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. Defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourself to fasting and prayer. and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. Now, we can stop there, and you can read on. If you don't understand what this is saying, then ask your mama or your daddy, or ask your wife or your husband. They'll explain this to you. But the danger of the look and of the touch, so dangerous. Now, we're living in a world where you cannot even watch a commercial on television. You can't drive by a billboard. You can't even have a decent conversation with some folks without that being referred to and talked about. You can't go shopping at the mall without seeing things you ought not to be seeing. And I have two daughters in their mid-30s. Got five granddaughters. And I want them to grow up in an environment. I don't want men to be lusting after them because of the way they've dressed specifically for that to happen. I don't want that to happen. I want to have the right perspective. I want them to be taught. I want my five grandsons to learn the danger and not to let temptation and opportunity get together. You see? If we can keep those separated, then that... And again, that's what this passage back in chapter 6 is talking about. He's saying, don't see how close you can get. Remember? Don't see how close you can get to the edge of the cliff without falling off. Some folks want to see if they can... They go to these things that they call proms, and they do things that they shouldn't be doing, young people. There's other things that goes on. Be careful. You see, the Lord's the one who knows best. He knows the dangers. Let's turn back to our passage, and we'll be done. We'll read the last few verses of it again. Proverbs chapter 6. Look at verse 30. Men do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy his soul when he is hungry. Now what that's saying is that if somebody steals to satisfy his hunger, it doesn't make it right. We don't condone that it's right, but you understand. You understand. It says, but if he found, he shall restore sevenfold. It means he'll pay the price. He will bear the consequences, the penalty, pay the penalty. He shall give all the substance of his house. Whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. A wound and dishonor shall he get, and his reproach shall not be wiped away. You see, for a few moments of passion, an entire life of ministry and testimony can dissolve and be gone. Influence is destroyed. And if we don't have any influence, then what do we have? For jealousy is the rage of a man. Therefore will he not spare in the day of vengeance. He will not regard any ransom, neither will he rest content, though thou givest many gifts. Now there's a lot more that we could say. We still got chapter 7 to go. We'll try to keep it between the ditches, so to speak, and just be of help. But the Word of God is clear. It's abundant. He said it in passage after passage. Be careful. Behave yourself. And you'll be glad you did. Amen? Amen. All right. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll be dismissed.